The National Geographic Channel, which is on cable, this is channel 109, is that correct?
109 on Comcast.
276 if you got satellite. They added the pre-9/11 special last night, which took us from 1980, really, to 9/11.
Took us all the way to where the 19 hijackers went to bed. And by the way, we got an email that said that they're going to rerun part one tonight at 7 o'clock in advance of the 9 o'clock part
good
two.
Good idea.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, then block out 7 until 11 to get both halves of the thing.
I think the pre-9/11 show is very important, too.
Oh, man, I thought that was so well done. That was so informative. They did some real research. And, boy, I got to tell you, if anybody thinks there is any relationship of Iraq or Saddam Hussein to what happened in 9/11, forget about it.
Well, that's really interesting. In fact, I found myself saying as I'm watching this thing, isn't it patently obvious? And, of course, this is after, you know, some extensive investigation. But nonetheless, we do know this now. Pakistan is such a factor. Every time there's something untoward going on, it seems that it all goes back to Pakistan.
Yep, you're not kidding.
The training camps.
Yep.
These young, innocent, you know, 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds who, you know, seem to be going through some normal educational process. And then all of a sudden they're sent to these madras schools or terrorist training camp, and they come out of there dedicated to a martyr life.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rewards that suicide will bring or death jihad, death to Westerners will bring to them. And they seem to be just utterly brainwashed. But none of this is happening in Iraq. It's all happening in Pakistan. Well, Saudi Arabia, there's some wild things going on.
Saudi
Sudan,
Arabia and Pakistan. Those
all
two
these
are,
places. Yeah. I was surprised how much Germany was not doing anything about these mosques where all this hate speak was going on and all this planning was going on.
Yeah, and of course we saw that in the early 80s that same hate speak was going on. Detroit,
yep.
Chicago, all of these towns where they were holding these meetings, getting all these people on board to hate and destroy America and kill everybody they could.
In America.
In America. And here we had a newspaper reporter who ended up at one of these things, saw what was going on, the one in Detroit actually, notified the FBI, who laughed it off, called him crazy. You'd think that it would have at least gone down there to see for themselves. And there it was, boy, right at the podium, freely talking about all this kind of thing. And it's unbelievable, too, that not long before 9/11, Atah and one of the other pilots were flagged as to what they were
exactly.
They were going to do.
When they were in Florida at the flight training school.
They were flagged, and the reason why they didn't do anything about it, the CIA knew about it. The alarms went off. They had these two guys. They notified the FBI who, well, because they had they were operating on current visas, it was illegal to do any intelligence on them. So they didn't.
What?
Absolutely disgusting.
I just didn't follow that line of thinking at all. That made no sense to me.
That's a bunch of crap. Well, there must be some kind of a stupid-ass law about that.
I knew there were.
Come on.
I knew there were some near misses with these guys and with deciphering the plan, but I had no idea that we had so many chances to set this thing back.
Absolutely. Chance after chance after chance. All of it thwarted by lack of communication between the FBI and the CIA. And just downright screwing up, not following up on anything, not taking anything seriously. Absolutely incredible. And it just goes all the way back. A couple of opportunities to get rid of bin Laden, one of which was right during the climax of the impeachment proceedings, where Clinton can lay blame at his feet for that one, when they had this bastard surrounded, ready to take him out, and they waved it off because they were so concerned that one of the princes of Arabia would be killed in the process of taking out bin Laden, and they were concerned about that
though,
and how America would react, given that no one really knew who the hell bin Laden was. Well, that's just ridiculous.
This guy was keeping company with Osama bin Laden, and he knew what Osama bin Laden was all about.
Absolutely.
Who cares if this Arab prince got taken out in the process?
Absolutely.
Not to mention
with this guy who was well established as the leader, the commandant.
We heard it before too, the fact that they saw a swing set at the compound and they thought, "Oh no, we're going to take out kids, there's going to be some civilians, and look at all the death and destruction that was caused because we were afraid to cause the loss of life of a few civilians. Isn't that incredible?
It really is. It absolutely blows my mind. And the only reason why those Trade Center buildings were targeted was because they hated the Jews, and the word was out that there were more Jews in New York than anywhere else, and specifically to the World Trade Center buildings.
Wow.
So absolutely incredible. Incredible.
We're on the is this the last 2 days?
Yeah, this is when the guy gets pulled over.
Oh, yeah.
85 in the freeway.
You know, prior to this, though, a couple days before this, we're going to start with 9:10 on this special, and I think it'll probably whet your appetite to watch it tonight because it was just an incredible special.
Oh, yeah, so well-researched, so well-presented.
And it was just really 1982 9/11. There's nothing of 9/11 last night, but and they'll be replaying last night tonight at 7, but at 9 o'clock tonight, of course, they will take us through 9/11 and through the airports. And you know what else? God, this was maddening. The they were aware of this possibility of a plane hijacking was so in our radar.
Oh, absolutely.
It was so in our radar.
Oh, yeah, going way back to that Yosef guy.
Yosef, who was the
head of this whole damn thing. And that goes back to the Philippines, and basically you had these two guys, and they had all these plans on a laptop, and the word got out, and all this great intelligence, and they stormed this apartment where these guys were held up. They ran out the back door. This Yosef guy was hiding across the street, told his buddy, who also ran out, we need to go back there and get the laptop. It's got all these plans on it, including the World Trade Center explosions, hijacking the planes. Guy goes back with the laptop. The cops were there already, right, because they busted that apartment, arrested him. And meanwhile, this Yosef guy is watching from across the street, sneaks out of the country to Singapore, but they had the laptop, and the police went through it. They found all these plans were laid bare, the whole thing, and they notify our FBI, and what do? They don't act on it.
Mm.
They didn't do anything about it. They didn't do a damn thing about it. And, of course, eventually they got this Yosef guy, or Yosef, whatever the hell his goddamn name is, and they arrested him.
The two guys going through the airport? The one in the Armani suit.
Oh, yeah. And they created a distraction.
Distraction. They knew how we would react. The security would react.
Yep. They sent through this guy who had a whole duffel bag full of bomb-making books, and it disrupted immigration. And then, meanwhile, the big cheese gets through in the Armani suit. Oh, it was incredible.
The FAA was warned, too. The FAA was warned that there was something, akin to a hijacking or some form of hijacking that was coming. They should be on high alert at all these airports. And the FAA knew, and I don't know if it was the FBI or who it was, but they ran these sort of test runs where they would try to get various things through security.
Oh, and right, knew, those knives and stuff. Yeah, right.
They knew that security was just pathetic, and that they weren't going to stop anything. You know, if you had a really intelligent hijacker, and they know how diabolical these people were, they knew they were going to make it. They absolutely knew it. And these guys knew it, too. And instead of making this information or sending this information on and doing something about it, they suppressed it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess assuming that this would never happen. And the world didn't need to know how weak FAA security was. And then eventually they pulled that sort of high alert off, and these airports just went back to business as usual. But, of course, business as usual was just a few weeks before 9/11. But the weirdest thing, I think, in this whole special last night that I'd never heard, and I don't think you guys had either, was this freshman in high school.
Yeah, that kid.
Who was in class right near the World Trade Center. And around the time he said this, that's when Atah and some of their pilots, this is so weird, were renting planes and flying them along the Hudson to sort of get the lay of the land for that trip into the World Trade Center.
Yep.
And it blows bizarre.
Yeah, and it blows my mind, too, that here's these guys. They go and they come into this country and they end up in this pilot training to get their private pilot license, their first license. Then they move right on to jets, jumbo jets.
Yep.
That should have flagged a million things right there.
The simulation program to learn how to fly jumbo jets.
Yeah, nobody goes a private pilot to flying jumbo jets.
Where do you learn that?
I mean, everybody, they go through, well, you can go down there into these big schools like Embry-Riddle and stuff like that. But it basically, people end up through a whole training procedure. They go through, they get their commercial pilot license and their instrument rating, their multi-engine. They get their airline transport pilot license. You know, they log, you know, several thousand hours getting all of this instruction, all of these licenses and ratings, and then move into these big jets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just jump from one thing to the next. Nor do they get in training and then they don't even want to know how to land the airplane. They just want somebody to teach them to fly it.
Well, they thought it was awfully strange that all these Islamic guys were in these flight camps.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, those two guys were flagged in Florida.
Flagged.
And that wasn't long after they were over here.
Exactly. They were so flagged, it was pathetic.
Anyway, the last 2 days, again, what's your appetite?
But this kid, yeah, talk about that kid.
Yeah, oh, the kid.
Yeah.
Pointed out the window and said to his teacher, those two buildings, pointed to the World Trade Centers, will not be standing next week at this time.
How do you like that?
The instructor just was kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
And thought nothing of it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a week later, obviously the instructor must have talked to the FBI or the somebody and passed this along because they investigated this and they absolutely are stunned. And they don't know why this kid said this or what he knew or
but
why
he verified
knew.
It. They verified
but
it.
He
happened.
Did say it.
Yeah, it happened.
So this just was so out there. There were so many opportunities they had. Osama bin Laden was even bragging in his interviews about there's going to be something. It's going to happen on U.S. soil.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, August the 6th, Bush was given this daily report.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about hijackings. And
he blew it off.
Well, they didn't do... They didn't do anything special about it.
And the chatter was so extensive that it was overwhelming. The chatter was at such a high level.
But anyway, starting with the couple days before,
in the United
here's
Arab
just a little
Emirates.
Piece of the
apparently
special last night on the National Geographic
the money
Channel
that Al Qaeda gave them for the plane's operation. They are returning the leftover cash.
Yeah, pretty anal.
Mm-hmm.
September 9th, Ziad Jarrah, who has been a constant cause of concern to Atta, may be having second thoughts.
One of the other pilots.
Yeah, isn't that something?
He calls his family and tells them that he'll attend a cousin's wedding in Lebanon on September 22nd. He says he has purchased a new suit for the occasion. At 12.05 a.m., Jarrah is driving 90 miles an hour when police here in Pikesville, Maryland stop him. It's a 65-mile-per-hour zone. He politely answers the officer's questions.
I live in Springfield on Quicksilver Drive. Still live on Quicksilver Drive? Okay, I'm right with you.
Jarrah then signs
a
$270 ticket and drives off. Southeastern Afghanistan, September 9th. From his Tarnak Farms compound, bin Laden prepares for the battle that 9/11 will provoke. 350 miles away, General Ahmad Shah Massoud is at his headquarters in northern Afghanistan. The general is a legendary Mujahideen commander and a threat to Osama bin Laden's power. He is leader of the Northern Alliance, an Afghan coalition opposed to the Taliban and Al Qaeda.
Boy, did you get scared watching this?
Yeah,
I actually found myself getting really uptight.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking.
Captivating at the same time.
In fact, Trish was saying, God, do I need this on a Sunday night?
Disguised bomb. One of the agents detonates the bomb, killing Massoud and himself. The next day, with Massoud dead, Taliban forces, in conjunction with Al Qaeda, launch an attack on the Northern Alliance. September
10th. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Good morning. It's 73 degrees at 12 o'clock on this Monday, September 10th. I'm Brian Carey in here.
A bright, cloudless day on the eastern seaboard. New Yorkers ready themselves for a mayoral primary. Several candidates vie for the opportunity to replace the outgoing mayor, Rudy Giuliani. At the White House, President Bush and Australia's Prime Minister John Howard greet reporters outside the Oval Office. The head of the FBI's counterterrorism office receives word that the Justice Department has rejected his requests to boost his budget.
On September 10th.
Yeah.
Portland, Maine, 5:43 p.m.
Look how detailed.
Mohammed Atta, Egyptian graduate student in charge of the plane's operation, and muscle hijacker Abdul Aziz Alomari check into this Comfort Inn.
Oh.
They get cash at this ATM. And stop at this
cash. Yeah, there's their pictures at the ATM, which is so freaky.
Yeah, is it though?
There's some more pictures.
Yeah.
At the local Walmart, they purchase two utility knives like this.
That's what they slit the throat with.
Yeah.
Now pause that for a second. Yeah, we learned about the Bin Laden selected Atta. He was the most dedicated, thorough, detail-oriented guy of all the people, and he had been sort of indoctrinated as a potential martyr. They all had been through this whole business of, you know, 72 virgins and martyrdom, and what a wonderful opportunity that was. And he was to be the leader of the group, and they were all going to go to flight school, and they had the, you know, basically Bin Laden would, people would come to him with terrorist plans, and he had the finances to either approve or disapprove of the particular event. And this Sheikh Mohammed took this Youssef's plan to him for the hijacking of the four American planes, or a number of American planes, and hitting landmarks. It was interesting to see, too, that the Sears Tower and that other tower were both potential targets originally.
Which makes
the Sears Tower.
Yeah.
You know, how would you like to hear that if you lived in the Sears Tower last night?
I know. That's just it. Whenever, like, your city would come up, it'd be like, oh, geez.
So because Chicago, sleeping a little,
a little uneasy these days. Yeah, because you figure if it came up then, what about the future, you know?
And CIA headquarters, too. Was a target that was discussed.
Well, you always know, like, those really tall buildings, you know, those things make quite a splash if they go down.
But then they decided on five hijackers for each flight.
Yeah.
Was it five for each flight?
I think so.
Yeah, and I think one guy didn't make it over. But they called them the muscle hijackers.
Right, the muscle guys, yeah.
They took those guys through a kind of a course of weightlifting, and also they had to smuggle some things through security, too, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they worked on all this. I mean, they meticulously planned
all these
things.
Those test flights.
Yeah, the test flights.
One
they knew exactly when the drink service was coming.
Yep, they knew right to a T. And remember, too, and they had everything planned, like when the seatbelt sign would come on, when the, that sort of thing. And then remember, too, that actor, Woods, right? James Woods.
James Woods saw one of these test runs.
He was on
the plane. Isn't that just wild?
God, I know it. And he reported it. He did.
And he
God
told,
damn
he
it,
insisted. That was just, that is so nauseating.
I'm sure it was Atta. Like later, afterwards, when he saw that, he said, that one guy was Atta. By God.
That's right. And their plan was they had the two muscle hijackers in the front of the plane in first class.
Right.
The pilot was behind them.
He was back several rows in coach.
Right.
Two in first class, then the muscle guy behind him.
Yeah, the muscle guy at the very back of the plane.
Right.
And the two guys in the front, they were to storm the cockpit, kill the pilots.
Right.
And Atta was to jump in there to fly the plane.
Right.
And then the guy in back, his job was to take one passenger, slit their throat in front of all the other passengers to completely freak them out.
Terror and freeze everybody.
Exactly.
So because that's just it. And afterward, remember when they talked about weeks afterward, they talk about this is how they operate. You know, they take just one person and they create this horrible bloodbath, and then it freezes people. Naturally, everybody could have gotten up and jumped these punks like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these little wiry guys. Why, all those passengers, a couple hundred passengers, would have kicked their ass. But that's what happens.
Well, one of those
everybody
guys
freezes.
One of the throat slitters had his neck broken by the Flight 93 bunch with Todd Beamer.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, because they knew there was no bomb on that plane.
Yeah.
And
they knew they were doomed.
That was part of, they had gotten enough phone calls and information from
the cell
spouses
and
friends and whatnot that they talked to, that they knew two planes were down already. I think they knew three planes were down.
Yeah.
They knew they were finished.
They knew they were doomed.
So
they fought back.
One of their group was a pilot, and the hope was that they could get to the cockpit and take these guys out and insert this pilot. But they got screwed up, which I'm sure we'll learn all about tonight. I can't wait to see tonight.
It's I know. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah.
How they, you know, how close they were on Flight 93. But what happened was when they got to the cockpit, they were busting their way in there, and this guy turned the plane upside down.
Yeah, which screwed him up.
Yeah.
They almost did it.
And they went through, they took them through horrible turbulence, and they did everything they could to stop these guys from having any success. But then, of course, they took the plane down.
Yeah, they almost got away with it. But in so doing, it, of course, fell way short of its target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that airplane was probably targeted for the White House. So if it wasn't for them, you know, it would have probably hit the White House. And the thing of it is, too, by the way, September 11th, I think it's either A&E or the Discovery Channel, one of those are going to have a special specific to Flight 93, which is going to be terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Never before seen video and audio and all that kind of stuff.
Isn't that disappointing, though? You know, you watched that thing last night, and you saw how specific this plan was. And it was very easy to see how James Woods or any observant person would have really thought something was odd in that plane. And, of course, I really wasn't. You know, when 9/11 happened, I was not terribly hip to the name Osama bin Laden.
Oh,
you know, I remember the bombing of the training camps that Clinton did. But I was kind of like a lot of people. I thought, you know, was that a distraction for the Lewinsky thing? Because the Lewinsky thing had really gone into high gear then. He'd admitted it to Hillary at that point.
Right.
We knew that. And he was facing up to the impeachment. And, you know, to hit those training camps right at that time just seemed like way too big a coincidence.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
It was a coincidence. He really was concerned about Osama bin Laden. I really don't believe he was hitting that training camp because he just wanted to get people's minds off Lewinsky.
No.
Because it did anything but that.
Yeah. And it's amazing, too, how bin Laden came to be. And he ended up getting a reputation for being the point man, the commander of the battle against Russia. And they said that was all based on a mere 15 seconds of video with him with a walkie-talkie and a gun, and instantly his cohorts made him the big boss.
And the idea was he was going to turn his attention from one superpower to the next, which is the U.S.
Yeah.
And in doing this airplane thing, he knew that if this was successful, his whole hope was that the U.S. would then attack Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thought the idea of the United States literally taking on Muslims was going to unite the Muslim world
against
the United
States.
Once
and for all.
So, you know, he was wrong. And we were wrong, too. You know, the idea that people were going to just drop their weapons and hug the American soldiers.
Right, right.
That obviously
didn't
happen.
It's basically come to pass, but through a weird way. Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see, listening to this video, the National Geographic show, that this thing was a really detailed presentation, right down to, you know, like at 12:05 this happened and that happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, they really put together every coincidence and every non-coincidence that made the rise of Osama bin Laden, and also what allowed this plan to flower, because there were a lot of chances for derailment along the way. A lot of things happened.
Constantly.
But this guy was convinced that the Trade Center, which... He really wanted the Trade Center because his goal was to kill the most Jews in America he possibly could. And this person told him that so many Jewish people worked in the World Trade Center that he had the original attempt in 93, which only killed 7 people.
Yeah,
and
pissed him off.
He watched that from the other side of the river and was terribly disappointed. He felt he'd failed, but he was going to get it right next time.
Yeah, he reported back that next time they're going to be successful. And they always had their eye on it. But that was the reason why they went for those World Trade Center buildings, was right there because the Jews.
How disappointing, though, that someone didn't take James Woods more seriously.
I know it. Well,
you know, because he really gave them the, you know, all they could take in terms of, he knew those guys were up to something. Why wouldn't they figure out who those 4 people were? I mean, he knew seat numbers. He knew everything.
He knew everything, and he told them all that, and they had the names. They knew who was in those seats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but of course we saw that throughout this whole presentation. Time and time again, the CIA would suddenly become aware of something, either through their own intelligence or through things like, you know, what happened in the Philippines and all that sort of thing, where we got a hold of the laptop that had this whole thing, including the World Trade Center, the hijacking, everything laid out on the laptop. Philippines notified the FBI, gave them the whole plan after they tortured that guy and got all this out of him, remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tortured him by putting cigarettes in his ears and dumping all this water down his throat. Yeah. And so we knew it there again. And a lot of times the information wasn't conveyed to the FBI, or the FBI had it. They didn't convey it to the CIA. Or people did know it and just dismissed it. Go figure. All the way down, and that's what happened with James Woods. They just dismissed it. God, he came within. Jeez, I mean, he could have been on the Faithful Flight.
I know. And what a hero he could have been.
Oh,
they'd only
man.
Listen to him.
Yep.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back to the last 2 days.
Yeah, this is really incredible stuff.
September 10th and, September 9th and September 10th. And they basically take us up to the hijackers going to sleep. But we'll break first. And we're on 910 now. I'm going to pop that thing up.
Otis Singh is booked on American Flight 11 the next morning. From Boston to Los Angeles. Sometime today, Ziad Jarrah writes a tender farewell letter to his wife, Isil.
He told her, basically, that he was about to enter paradise, and that he hoped that she would be proud of him.
How weird.
God, how totally
disgusting. Marry this woman.
Boston.
God. How can you be so lost?
Pilot Marwan El-Shehhi and two members of his team stay at this hotel.
I think you're going to paradise for
one
killing.
Of them calls an escort service
nice.
And asks what it would cost to have a prostitute sent to one of their rooms.
Real classy.
The $400 price tag is apparently too high.
Is it a $100 price tag?
I think you said four.
$400.
You know what? You can't wait for the 72 virgins,
Hamza
huh?
And Ahmed Al-Hamdi check into this day's hotel.
That's nice.
In the city's Brighton neighborhood. Hamza orders a pornographic movie on the in-house video system.
Oh, yeah, pretty dedicated
yeah.
to Allah, aren't
you? Why didn't he just wait for the 72 virgins?
Tickets on United's morning flight 175 from Boston to
Boy,
Los Angeles.
Boy, that's really religious, huh? All this porn and prostitutes. How religious they were.
Well, they left out the strip club. We could have went to a strip club, too.
Yeah.
Newark, New Jersey, September 11th, 12:05 a.m. Pilot Ziad Jarrah enters this airport Marriott. He pays $450 in cash for two non-smoking rooms.
Non-smoking
Jarrah
rooms.
And his team have four tickets.
Yeah, smoke's really going to kill you before the flight tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
From Newark to San Francisco. Herndon, Virginia. Pilot Hani Hanjour is with his team in a hotel close to Washington Dulles Airport. They are booked on American Flight 77, a morning flight bound for Los Angeles. All 19 of the hijackers are now in their hotel rooms. Some have trained to fly huge jets. Others only to kill with a small blade. Some of the men read a set of instructions entitled Last Night. The handwritten document directs them to stand firm and inspect their weapons. In part, the letter says, Know the plan well. Vow to accept death. Purify your heart and cleanse it of stains.
Yeah,
by your breast be filled with gladness.
By ordering porno.
To God, we shall return.
This little Arabic symbols just scare the blood out of me.
You're not
knowing
kidding.
That the next morning they will attempt to execute an attack based on their deeply held beliefs in radical Islam. It's a plan that grew from a casual conversation between childhood friends and was nurtured by Osama bin Laden. They will bring the jihad to America.
And that's where they left off.
Wow.
Tonight's 9 to 11 broadcast.
Boy, pretty strong.
You know, one of the things that amazed me was how businesslike this plan was. The fact that Atah and the pilots, the four guys that bin Laden originally interviewed, were interviewed. They filled out an application.
Yeah.
Their job history, their education background, and they, you know, they measured the muscle team up too. They put them through weightlifting and some other programs. You know, how to handle FAA security,
mm-hmm.
how to get things through. I mean, this is a very organized thing. They had all those manuals, too, on U.S. military manuals they found at one point.
Yeah, right, right.
They had learned all at the terror camps.
Yep,
they
giant
all those
manuals.
Torture techniques. How did they get those manuals?
I have no idea. I can't imagine.
But, you know, that jet training, too. I mean, that was amazing how smoothly they did that. You know, these four guys, they all four of them went back to, and this, I wish somebody would have maybe had a little question mark about this. They went back to, was it Germany, where they all four claimed their passports were lost, yep. The four pilots?
Yeah, so they could get new passports that had no history, you know.
Right.
It was just all, yeah, brand
but
new.
But why wouldn't the new passport have all the stamps?
That's what Trish and I said.
Yeah,
we asked the same question last night.
I couldn't believe you could just get a clean passport
like that.
But the four of them did.
I know it. We wanted the same thing.
And that was why they...
Why would you drop all the history? That just didn't make any sense at all.
And when they came, when they flew over here, didn't they... They requested asylum. One of them... Wait, I may have my flights mixed up. Didn't somebody ask for political asylum?
Yep.
And he was told
yes.
He had to go to court.
The guy
which
in Armani suit came over with a diversion.
Okay,
guy.
It wasn't the pilots.
It was whichever one the Armani suit guy was.
I don't think that was the pilot. That was somebody else.
That was a fact finding mission he came over for.
Yeah, that was a different thing. Yeah,
yeah, but that was interesting that he just flew right up, got right up to the gateway.
I couldn't believe it. In first class, he's sitting in first class with his Armani suit, comes walking into immigration. But, of course, they ended up sidetracked because of his buddy,
mm-hmm.
who had this duffel bag full of bomb-making books and everything else, and he was caught. And the minute they had him, it started a big ruckus. And then, meanwhile, this guy must have stood out like hell. Can you imagine this Arab guy in Armani suit?
Oh,
everything?
I know.
I mean, he must have stood out for miles, and they let him right through because they were distracted by this other ass.
But these four pilots
can't believe
it. They were all at Huffman Aviation in Florida. They all met in Las Vegas, where they did some planning there. They stayed at the Econo Lodge. They used their real names
for
rental cars.
For a while,
yeah, they rented that house together. They had their real names and their driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them had been pegged as potential terrorist problems.
Yep. Well, remember after 9/11, remember how, wasn't it Attah, where they reissued another visa to him? Remember?
Oh,
it
went that's
through,
right.
And nobody could believe it. It actually went through the system and was reinstated. This was after... He, of course, was dead and everything else.
And all that chatter, all that terrorist chatter was coming through, you know, in the months before 9/11.
Yeah, and it reached a peak. It was overwhelming in the preceding couple of weeks.
They knew there was some big event coming, or they'd been told that. And the FAA was warning these airports about the hijacking threat.
Incredible.
And the FAA had 52 warnings about Al-Qaeda suicide attacks, and they knew that airport security would not stop these guys.
And meanwhile, you got
gaping holes in security was the term they used.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you got James Woods up there flying in first class with Attah and his buddies on a test run, right in the middle of that type of a scenario where all this chatter is at incredible. I mean, that was a couple of weeks before the tragedy, and yet nobody reacted to that, even though everybody's guard was up.
And somehow, too, Bin Laden seemed to know that this information could not be only known to him and his 19 guys, because he called them in July and said, we've got to do this now.
Yeah, right.
And Todd told him he needed 5 to 6 weeks.
Right.
They needed to fly the practice routes.
Right, they weren't ready.
And then Todd starts booking the flights for the rehearsals and practicing smuggling the simple weapons.
Yeah, and then remember he communicated the date with the two sticks and the cake and the stick and all that.
Would you have ever figured out that meant 9/11, by the way?
No.
Well, how did he describe that?
Described it as two sticks and a cake with a stick down.
Two sticks dash a cake with a stick down.
Yeah. Well, how do you know the two sticks come second?
Well, that's just it.
Don't they read back?
Well, but they know.
Oh.
They
read the month or the day first.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, I see. Well,
what is the significance of the man in the Armani suit? Because you are also the man in the Armani suit. Why?
Yeah. Well, you're
I'm
right. Well, this guy was taller and he was Arabic. But
yeah,
I'm telling
Youssef
what
loved himself, didn't he?
Yeah. What else could? I mean. It's just very disappointing because I don't know how many times the FBI and the CIA had to stop this thing. I mean, it was just one screw up after another. Remember just they, downright stupidity.
When you guys were talking about how they said we've got these two guys, they're a flight risk. We know they're involved with terrorists.
Absolutely.
And they said, hey, sorry, they've got working visas that are good, so we can't do anything.
Well, yeah, that's why they didn't take any action on there.
Yeah, well, they said, follow them.
Can you believe that? That the CIA would find out that Atah and this other pilot were absolutely up to no good? And definitely seem to be terrorists on a mission to do something. And the FBI would say, well, we can't do any intelligence on them because they've got, they're on two current visas. And
legitimately in the United States.
Yeah, so they're not allowed to. What kind of a law is that?
And we heard,
I mean, what kind of a law is that? Because, of course, when somebody sneaks into the country, what have you, they're going to have fake documents, what have you, to get legitimate, or they're going to be legitimate visas. I mean, just to be here.
They referenced, too, the July 10th memo, this FBI agent in Phoenix, who was really a heads-up guy, and he was disturbed that all these Muslims were in flight training out there, mm-hmm. and he was like, what in the world is this all about?
Right.
And he sent that report to, sent a memo to the White House and to the FBI regarding the Muslims in flight school, and the FBI just never passed it to the upper echelon FBI, and they never shared this with the CIA either.
Now, why is that? Isn't that amazing?
It is really strange.
I don't know what else they could have done.
It's so sloppy.
Everybody was trying to announce that, including that memo to the president, Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, yeah, the August 6th.
Right. Ruled about so much.
Yeah, the daily briefing thing.
Yeah, that basically said Osama bin Laden is going to attack you.
Yeah, absolutely, and he blew it off. They brought that up. They brought that up on this show, and they said Bush blew it off. You know, I don't know what else they could have done other than stand on the Empire State Building and jump up and down with a sign saying, we're going to attack the Trade Center buildings. Yeah. And you know what? If they had done that, they would have been dismissed as a bunch of idiots.
They would have said they got good visas, so forget it.
Yeah.
Trudy News at 9:46, brought to you by Dr. Roche. If you've been thinking about breast enhancement, there's no better time than now. Call Dr. Roche at 877-338-1110. Ask about the summer special on breast augmentation or visit his new online picture gallery at drrochebreast.com to view incredible before and after pictures. DRROCHEbreast.com.
Well, this documentary that you're talking about, interesting because George Bush, in his weekly radio address, basically was saying that we were marking the four-year anniversary of the attacks of September the 11th and that we're fighting terrorists in Afghanistan, Iraq, and around the world, striking them in foreign lands before they can attack us here at home. So he's relating Iraq to terrorism to 9/11, once again, regardless of so many
the
people
truth.
Who say that it's really not connected or wasn't at the time. He is on the road now. Bush is on a three-day tour away from the ranch at Crawford that gets him away from a little outpost of people protesting the war. On a three-day tour, it begins in Salt Lake City, Utah, for the VFW convention, although some of the protesters say I will just follow him and go there. We hear that London police have prevented attacks on the House of Commons. It's supposed to happen over the summertime, according to the Times of London. Mm. They caught word of a plot for a dirty bomb in the parliament, but was kicked up security. The plot, they say, was foiled. Saddam, meanwhile, offering himself as a sacrifice for the Arab cause. What's this all about? This stuff from this letter, one of the first published letters, now in two newspapers in Jordan, delivered to them by the International Red Cross. Saddam claiming that his soul and existence is to be sacrificed for our precious Palestine, our beloved patient and suffering Iraq. Analysts say it's Hussein calling all Arabs to follow in his footsteps.
Why is the Red Cross doing distributing that?
What the hell is that?
I have no idea. Nice distributing memos and letters from the
murderers.
I know. I was trying to make sense of
that's
what
a bunch of crap.
What he's talking about how he's about love and stuff like that. Well, people buried under the desert would testify to the contrary, but this published letter, could this be another one of those things? Remember, they used to be paranoid about broadcasting Osama's latest recordings because they thought it was some sort of cue to sleeper cells.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. I just can't. Whatever Saddam Hussein has to say should be kept quiet. You shouldn't let anything out to do with him. That should be complete silence.
And they say he's
I can't believe that. Nice going, Red Cross. Jesus.
He's getting geared up for his trial, which they say is supposed to begin in September. Investigators say the Greek Airlines tragedy, the autopsies reveal all 118 bodies they've recovered died on impact with the mountain, not before. Well, they think that...
Boy, is that spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they found the captain finally, huh?
Oh, they found the captain over the weekend?
Because you're saying they found all
the
bodies.
Well, they're saying the 118 that they've recovered because there were 122, weren't there?
Oh, okay. I thought you said they recovered
all.
There's
still who have not been recovered. But all of the people they've recovered, they say, after autopsy.